I love that song, especially the way that violin mixes in with the voice is beautiful. Anyway, welcome to Midweek. First, we'll start with a few announcements, and then we'll have our lesson on one another passages. So, coming up this Friday, 8:30 a.m., a few of us are meeting to do a hike at Windwolves. Everybody's invited. And then in the evening, there's a special event. Fred Gray is, we're having, it's called An Evening with Fred Gray. It's 5 o'clock on Friday. It's not the best time for a lot of us, but it's actually 7 o'clock Central Time. And Fred Gray is a member of the Churches of Christ who recruited Martin Luther King into the civil rights movement back in the 1950s. He was the lawyer that represented Rosa Parks when she was trying to get the right to ride a bus. That's how long he's been a part of the civil rights movement. He defended the many of the situations in the civil rights movement. He's a lawyer and an elder in the Churches of Christ. You can guess he's not a young guy. He's just over 90 years old. It's going to be really great. Now, if you want to do this, you have to go to the website, teleossociety.com. I gave you the information in the weekly email. For campus students, it's 15 bucks, and more than one person can watch on a screen. For non-campus students, it's $50. It's kind of expensive, but again, if you want to get a group together, maybe a Bible group together to do it, it'd be really cool. Up to you, but I just wanted to let you know about that opportunity. Also, coming up this Sunday, 9 o'clock a.m., we're going to start a 5-week session on the book of Isaiah. This is going to be a great class. Well, I'm the teacher, so take it for what it's worth. And it's going to be us and also the San Diego Church of Christ. We're going to kind of do it together. All right, it's going to be on my Zoom. Most of you know the Zoom address, but the usual 342, et cetera. Okay, and then Church Sunday is going to be at BakersfieldChurchofChrist.com. Luckily, we didn't plan a park service for this weekend because it looks like rain on Saturday and Sunday. Good thing, unless you're having a park service. We are going to try to have a park service on the 14th of March. That'll be great. Also, coming up, we have a few of us are going on a hike down the Grand Canyon and back on April 10th. For those of you who can go, it'd be great. Let me know about that. We'll have a worship right on the rim of the Grand Canyon Sunday morning. It'll be awesome. All right, so let's get to our series. All the way back in December, we had a lesson from Ephesians on coming home. And we read in Ephesians 2, 11 through 12, that outside of Christ, we are uncircumcised, separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in God's people, without hope and without God. We had no spiritual home. And for some of us, honestly, we didn't have much of a home at all here on the earth. But then we read in Ephesians 2, 13 through 22, that in Christ we have come home. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're made one, Jew and Gentile, pagan and religious person and black, white, rich, poor, progressive, liberal, conservative, all brought into one body. The barrier of hostility between human beings has been broken down in Christ. We are fellow citizens with God's people. We're a member of his household. And that's the theme, coming home to God's house. And we are being built into a temple of the Lord, and we are a dwelling in which He lives. But we realize that that's great theology, and it's encouraging to know that. But the question is, how do we build home? How do we create the kind of home that God envisions for us to have and to be as disciples of Jesus? And so, what we're going to do, what we started doing already, we're going to have at least three, but probably four midweeks on the idea of one another passages. And if we can implement these one another passages, I believe we'll be creating the kind of community, the kind of safe place, the kind of home, not only that can welcome those who have strayed a bit and need to be pulled closer, but also for those who are not even part of our family yet. And so that's, we're going to be continuing this idea. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at three different one another passages, one another commands. The first one is was to love one another. And really, all of these one another passages can be summed up as loving one another. They're just practical versions of that. So we read in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another, even as I have loved you. So the definition of what it means to love one another is based on Jesus and the way he loved us, and he gave himself as a sacrifice for us. But then we also went to 1 Peter 1:22, a passage that talked about loving one another, and it used both the Greek word phileo and agape. So agape is loving one another in that committed, self-sacrificial love. But phileo is more like the family kind of love, which is really, when I think of coming home, actually to me, phileo, that kind of love, really expresses it more. It's about the love of family. It's the love of companionship. It's the love of familiarity with one another, feeling like we belong. And then we had two other one another passages or one another statements, commands. One was Ephesians 5:21, where it said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we had to spend some time defining that. So I asked, what would it be like to live in a family in which every single individual in that family was willing to consider the needs of others in front of their own needs? To listen to each other, and to be willing not necessarily always to agree with each other, but to be willing to be influenced by each other, to put others voluntarily over ourselves. And the third was serving one another. And like I said, I think as a body of Christians, our church is pretty good at serving one another. I've just noticed since I've been here, and believe me, I bragged about it to other churches and other leaders, that when there's a need that comes up, generally it's met. But I propose there's some people in our church whose needs are not as well met by serving one another. And that would be the ones who don't ask, so they need to start asking, because it's more blessed to give to receive than to receive. And if you ask and somebody gives, they get a blessing. And those who are a little bit more on the fringe. There are people who are, you know, honestly, they're just not as well known. Like I said, if Mike and Yesenia and Mackie have a need, probably people find out about it. But if Angelica or let's say Luther has a need, not as likely. So I asked us to consider serving those that we know of who are not really in that inner circle, if you will. I don't like to admit we have an inner circle, but honestly, in any group, to some extent, you have that. Okay, got it? So we're going to go on. We're going to look at other one other passages. We're going to look at three or possibly four more. The next one is from Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. All right, so I'm going to turn to Galatians. I'm going to actually read verse 1 through 5. Actually, I'm going to read Galatians 6, verses 2 through 5. Let's go there. Actually, I'll start in verse 1 because it gives some context to the specific area of carrying burdens that Paul has in mind. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then you can take pride. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. All right. So, and again, carrying each other's burdens is an extension of serving one another. But I think it's not exactly the same idea as serving one another. Serving one another to me is kind of a reciprocal thing. I serve you, you serve me. And if everybody's serving each other, then needs are met. But For example, last night, Jen and I served our Bible group and the guests. We had 15 people at our Bible talk last night, by the way. Eight of them came to our house, and Jen and I served them by serving them a meal. But then today, Chris and May came over to our house and brought us a bunch of dried food and other kinds of canned food that we can use to serve other people. So we served them, they served us. And it's kind of like an equal thing. But in carrying other people's burdens, and there's a sense in which it's not equal, because one person has a burden and another person does not. And the person who does not have a burden carries the burden of those who do. And it's interesting because Paul almost seems to contradict himself between verse 2 and verse 5, and I need to explain that. So in verse 2 he says, carry each other's burdens, but in then verse 5 it says, carry your own burdens, carry your own load. So how's that work? Well, it turns out in the Greek he's using two different words. In chapter 6, verse 5, he says, carry your own fortion. We get the word portion from that. And that's cargo or load. So here's the picture. On the left is carry your own burden. In other words, you should take responsibility for most things in your life. This is kind of like, I believe there's a certain level of self-reliance and independence that's part of a natural Christian life. Got it? So that's what he's talking about. So, for example, each one of us should be paying our own bills, right? You shouldn't be constantly relying on other people to pay your bills in general. Each one of us should be fixing our own cars. But there might be an exception. There might be a burden. Each one of us should take care of the routine relationship of issues, of issues with other people, going on dates, making routine decisions. If you can possibly own a car, you should own a car. Because if you own a car, you can get yourself to other places. I'm not saying everybody can, but I'm telling you, if you can possibly own a car, please, as a disciple in this church, own a car. Because then other people won't have to carry that burden for you. And also, a little note to campus students, if possible, become independent of your parents. I know parents don't want that to come out there sometimes. They want to sort of keep them all close, and some kind of even want to control their kids longer than they should. But honestly, the sooner you become financially and even emotionally independent of your parents, you can kind of carry your own load, the better. It's part of growing up. So there's an aspect in our Christianity of having a healthy, good kind of Christian independence. In fact, so a few months ago, we did a Bible talk on dependence and independence. And we talked about a healthy kind of dependence, which is Galatians 6:2, and a healthy kind of independence. So in most things, we should carry our own load. But there comes a time when Galatians 6:2 absolutely applies. And that's when there's a burden that we cannot bear. So the Galatians 6:5 is the word fortion, which means carry your own little load, your own cargo, the things that rationally, reasonably, everybody ought to carry. But everybody in their life has a time when a burden is laid on them that they simply cannot carry. And that's our one another passage. We need to carry each other's burdens. The word is baros. And that's a very heavy load. It's like the second picture on the screen. In fact, I really like the next slide. There you go. There's somebody who was carrying too heavy a load, that poor little donkey there. And there are things that come up in our lives that are heavy burdens that we simply cannot carry. Sometimes it's a financial catastrophe. It might be a relationship catastrophe. A health catastrophe. Our house burns down, right? And in the context of Galatians 6:1, it could be a sin. It could be a sin that comes into a member's life, which kind of overwhelms them. And if you think about it, Jen and I have been here for 2 years. We've had all of those. We've seen people go through financial catastrophes, relationship catastrophes. There was one former member who came back after a breakup that was devastating to her. There have been health catastrophes, major ones. And there's been a house that burned down, literally. And there have been members who honestly have allowed themselves perhaps even to be overcome by a sin that it becomes a very intense situation. You know what? We're all busy, but I believe we need to leave room in our schedule so that when other people have a burden in their life, we can jump in there and take care of it. We need to leave space on our schedule. It's kind of like in Matthew 25 where he says, keep some oil in the lamp. And we need to be on the lookout. We need to be aware when our brothers and sisters are bearing a burden, because honestly, they may not tell us. And by the way, I want to give you permission right now. If you are feeling a burden that is too much to bear, you need to let somebody know. Hesitate to ask people to carry your backpack, but do not hesitate to ask people to share bearing that burden that you simply can't bear. This is part of being a family, and this is what good, healthy families do. And we are a family. We need to be a place when there are heavy burdens, there are people that step up, step into the gap, and take care of it. And by the way, if you read further on in Galatians 6, it says, take care of the needs, especially of the believers. But I believe that as we're reaching out to people, as this year especially, we're trying to bring those who strayed back into the fellowship, and always as we're trying to bring people who are not disciples yet into God's kingdom, those people are going to come in probably carrying some burdens. And I believe we need to be ready and willing to carry some of those burdens as well. Amen? Okay, great. So our first one another passage tonight is bearing one another's burdens. Are you, as a disciple of Jesus, willing to step in there, and when you don't have a burden, carrying somebody else's burden? I believe that's part of creating that home atmosphere. Number two tonight, which is number five on our list, is bearing with one another. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians 4, verse 2. It says, be completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another. What thought comes to mind when you hear bear with one another? To me, it means put up with those idiosyncrasies that you don't really appreciate. You know, there's people in our church who have habits that you probably don't even like at all. In fact, you kind of wish they'd stop doing it. But you know what? We need to bear with one another. Church needs to be a safe place, a place where you can be yourself. That is not an excuse for selfishness. It's not an excuse for continuing to have a habit which is obnoxious to everybody, you know? But part of it is us accepting people and bearing with people even when they have these arguably bad habits. You know, some people in our church, they think Dungeons and Dragons is the best entertainment in history. Others of us think that is really silly. All right, but we need to bear with one another, right? On either side of that divide. You know, we need to love people who kill innocent animals and fish. We need to love people who shoot Bambi. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that sort of in a joking way, but I'm serious. Some of us think hunting is barbaric. Others of us think that hunting is like an awesome social responsibility. We have both, and we need to bear with both kinds. Amen? We need to bear with those who love to shop, and they're constantly talking about shopping, and we wish they would stop. We need to bear with people who are kind of crazy fanatics about sports. It's like, seriously? Don't you have something better to talk about than which quarterback on which team and all that kind of stuff? We need to bear with that kind of stuff. we need to bear with political conservatives who we think are out there. We need to bear with political progressives. Absolutely. I think that's part of bearing with one another. Honestly, I think we're doing a pretty good job in that compared to the world and even compared to other churches that I've talked to. But we need to continue to do that. We need to bear with people who dress sloppy. And we need to bear with people who are kind of crazy how much they're into, like, spending probably too much money on dressing perfectly. You know what I'm saying? We need to bear with one another. We need to bear with people who don't take care of their teeth and go to the dentist often enough and don't have sufficiently good personal hygiene habits, in our opinion. We need to bear with that. Okay? Does that mean you don't say anything? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It depends on if you're a close friend of theirs. We need to bear with those who are extremely hyper outgoing and even interrupt conversations when they shouldn't. And we need to bear with those who really you can't hardly get them to talk at all. What's the key? In Ephesians 4, it says humility. Now let's look at another passage that talks about bearing with one another. It's kind of another aspect of bearing with one another. So far, what I've talked about is bearing with one another, which is bearing with one another's idiosyncrasies that we really don't actually appreciate. Got it? That's part of it. The other part is in Colossians 3:13. And honestly, there's a lot of stuff to bear with. There really is. Okay? Colossians 3:12 and 13 says here, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. So we're going to come back to this because our point number, whatever, 8 on our list is going to be forgiving one another. But here it's bearing with one another. In this case, it's bearing with the sins of one another. Now, there's a bit of a fine line here because we don't tolerate sin. We don't. But we bear with sin in each other's lives. Got it? And why? Because we're sinners too. You know, and this is especially a situation, I think, in our families. Because the bottom line is your spouse will remain a sinner until the day that he or she dies. And, you know, I'm not saying it's okay to sin. Nobody's saying that. And don't even imply that I'm thinking that. But what I'm saying is, even though we call people to repent and we confess our sins to one another, we still need to bear with one another because we're going to be sinners till the day we die. You know, what I found is, I find it easy to bear with somebody whose sins are my sin. All right? But the sins that I'm like, I'm awesome on. You know, there's certain sins, honestly, I don't struggle with very much. And I see other people struggling with that sin. I'm like, what's wrong with that person? You know what I'm saying? So I think we need to bear with people who struggle with sin is the thing we don't struggle with. We need to have the compassion on them. And be gentle with them. Amen? And again, let me say this again. This does not mean that sin is okay. But it does mean the sinner is okay. Got that? And there's a balance. Okay, number 3 for tonight, which is number 6 for our study of one another passages. It's almost the same, but it's different. And it's accept one another. Bear with one another, which is putting up with these annoying things, and then accept one another. Accepting one another, if you read the context, we're going to go to Romans 15:7. It's talking about something significantly different from bearing with one another. Accepting one another has to do with opinions about sort of spiritual, sort of moral, ethical matters. So let me read Romans 15, verse 7. Romans 15, verse 7. So our third for tonight is accepting one another. Got it? All right. And for each of these, I hope you'll notice, I'm putting it in its context. The two different passages on bearing with one another had a different context, and they bring out a different aspect of bearing with one another. All right, Romans 15, verse 7, it says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So we need to accept one another. How do we need to accept one another? As we are, right? Either you accept somebody or you don't. And I'm afraid our human nature is to not accept somebody. You say, no, until you rise up to this standard, until you act in this way, I'm not going to accept you. But if you do, then I will accept you. Now, I want to tell you that that's not exactly the context of accept one another right here, though. Let's go back to Romans 15, 1, and then we'll even backtrack into Romans 14 to see the context of accepting one another. So it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. For even as Christ did not please himself, as is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So we're accepting one another, all right? And specifically, the strong need to accept the weak. Strong in what sense? Weak in what sense? Let's go back a little bit further into Romans 4, 19 through 23, and we'll see what he's talking about. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep that between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. So in this context, the acceptance has to do with our opinions, our beliefs in kind of spiritual gray areas. I think that's the context. The example he's using is meat sacrificed to idols. There are some people that did eat meat sacrificed to idols because, honestly, the Bible doesn't condemn it. There are other people in that context who didn't eat meat sacrificed to idols because it hurt their conscience. And basically saying the person who feels like they can should not hurt the conscience of those who feel like they can't. And the ones who don't because they feel they can't shouldn't force that on the one who does. But either way, we need to accept one another. Okay, got it? And there are things that are kind of almost like a doctrinal nature we could debate. And there are things having to do with moral issues and things like that. And these could produce friction in the family. And basically, God is saying through Paul, accept one another in these areas. Let me give some examples. For example, in worship. Since Jan and I have gotten here, there's been a couple of issues that came up. For example, who can lead a song? Who can play an instrument? Who can pass out the Lord's Supper? All right? Some would say that only somebody who's a pretty strong member, a pretty solid disciple could do that. Other people say, what a great opportunity to let those who are maybe a little bit weak, why not give them an opportunity to join? Or even if they're not a member, maybe they could play an instrument, and through that they could be influenced to become a Christian. Now, who's right on that one? I don't know. But I'm telling you, both sides have a really strong feeling there. I know that from experience. So what should we do? We need to accept one another. Got it? accept that somebody has a strongly different opinion in a matter of gray area, that even though it's a matter of conviction for you, you need to be prepared to accept people who have different convictions. Now, if it's an absolute hardcore commandment in the Bible, we don't accept people who disobey those things. That's not what we're talking about. There are other things. In each of these issues, there's like the strong person and the weak person. The strong person is the one who says it's okay because the Bible doesn't condemn it. The weak person is the one who says, well, whether it does or not, I think it's wrong. You know, that kind of thing. And weak and strong is not bad and good. In this case, you could be the strong one or the weak one, and you're equally good with God. So that's not what we're really talking about. Some people say, this is kind of a sort of a hot topic in some of our churches. Some people say, as a fellowship, we need to go out of our way to raise up people of color in the leadership. We need to essentially have affirmative action. And we need to try to find people, say, from Asian or Hispanic or Black background and give them prominent roles in leadership. Other people say, well, that's kind of reverse racism. And we need to raise people who have merit. I mean, it should be based on who's got the spiritual qualifications, plain and simple. This is kind of a reflection of a debate that goes on in our culture as well, as you know. Well, who's right on that one? Well, I'll tell you, I've got a strong opinion on that one. I'm not going to tell you what my opinion is, but what I'm saying is we need to accept one another. Even if you feel strongly one way or another on that, you need to accept the one who doesn't agree with you on that. Because the bottom line is the Bible does not give an absolute definite answer on that one. There are many examples of this. Right now, another thing that's kind of running through our fellowship is what about women's roles? We have people in our fellowship that are saying that women should be able to preach and basically take any role that a man would take. Others say no. Now, here I'm really kind of rubbing on some pretty tough territory. In fact, the teacher service team just published a book on this, where they take a pretty strong position. Okay, got it? But even in something like that, we still need to find ways to accept one another, if there's any possible way. What kind of movies can we watch? What kind of music can we listen to? What dating practices should we have? And I say, go ahead, have a strong opinion. Have your conviction. And God in Romans 14 is saying, if you are convicted you should not do that, then you don't do that. But we need to accept one another. This is hard stuff, folks. Some of the issues I've raised, you're like, oh, whatever. Others, you're like, oh, man, what about tattoos? What about drinking, you know? Accepting one another does not mean you say nothing. If you have a strong opinion, go ahead and express it. But then tell that brother or sister, but just so you know, I accept you. Got it? All right. Great. How are we doing? I think we have time for one another passage. And after the first one, which is love one another, I think forgive one another. This is just my opinion. I believe of our list, we're going to do, by the time we're done, I think 12 different one another passages or one another commands. I would say after love one another, I would say forgive one another is the most essential to us having a home, creating a home where people can come home to. So let's talk a bit about forgiving one another. Okay. All right. Colossians 3:13. By the way, we already read Colossians 3:13. Oh, on the screen it says Colossians 3:14. I don't know. It's one of those. All right. Either way, let's go to Colossians 3 and see what it says. All right. Hope this is helping you. We're doing just real practical Christianity here. But I'm telling you, in order to have the kind of family, the kind of safe place that people are going to feel loved, accepted. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about loving one another, submitting to one another, serving one another, bearing one another's burdens, bearing with one another, accepting one another, and forgiving one another. Colossians 3, I guess it is verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues put on love, which bind them all together in perfect unity. And here he tells us, he gives us some really specific definition of forgive each other in what way? Forgive each other as Christ forgave you. And how did Christ forgive you? Fully and without reservation. Some people say to forgive is to forget. I don't agree with that. I do believe that if we truly forgive, it will tend to slip our mind. Whereas if we haven't forgiven, it won't tend to slip our mind. But you know what? It doesn't mean that you forget. If you loan your car to a brother and he brings it back a complete pig pen mess, then I say, don't loan him your car anymore. You know what I'm saying? But you need to forgive him. All right? So we need to forgive each other. And this is not necessarily an easy thing to do. You know, we oppose people's sin. We call people to repent of their sin, but we forgive their sin. We don't accept the sin. Unlike accepting one another's convictions about things, we don't accept sin. We just don't. But we forgive it. All right? So, another passage in this is Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. These two are so close, we almost don't even need to read Ephesians 4:32. We're going to see saying the same thing. All right, Ephesians 4:32, where it says, be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See that? Forgive each other just like God forgave you. And it's about compassion. We all know the parable of the unmerciful servant or the unforgiving servant. God had compassion on him, right? That's Matthew 18:21-34. I assume all of you know Matthew 18:21-34. The man owed his master 10,000 talents, which is the equivalent of roughly $10 million, which he could have never paid back. And his master forgave him. The whole shooting match, the whole kit and caboodle. Why? Because that's what God does. God forgave us. In Matthew 6, it says, basically, forgive other people or God won't forgive you. And really, that's what he says. In fact, let's turn there. Okay, we got just a couple more minutes, and then we're going to go to our fellowship groups. Let's finish out Matthew 18:21-34. And I really want this to be a take-home lesson from tonight. Matthew 18. We're not going to read the whole 21-34. We're going to read 32-34. Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then the master called the servant in, the one who refused to forgive a few thousand dollars. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all back. That is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. What are we talking about forgiving? We're talking about people sinning against you. Now, if you're a new Christian, maybe no fellow disciple has ever sinned against you. Good. I'm telling you. If you're in the church long enough, somebody in the church is going to sin against you. They're going to betray you. They're going to gossip about you. You're going to share a confidence and they're going to tell somebody else. They're going to go behind your back and take advantage of you. I wish I could tell you that never happens. But, you know, I've been in our fellowship of churches for 42 years. And, you know, I could tell you some stories that aren't good stories. I really could. And there's been a couple things that it was a struggle for me to forgive. That's why there's such a strong warning here. Brothers and sisters, we need to forgive one another. All right, so here's the things to come. Encourage one another, be devoted to one another, teach and admonish one another, confess your sins to one another, build each other up. Here are discussion questions. So as we finish, maybe you can quick FaceTime or instant message somebody, or Facebook message somebody, and let's spend, you know, a few minutes, please, discussing these questions with those you're with, or maybe with somebody else. Number one, can you think of a situation in which somebody else bore your burdens? What was that like? And possibly you could share an example where you, you know, not boasting, but where you got to bear somebody else's burdens. Number one. Number two, what are some things that other people do that you struggle bearing with? Let's just be open about it. There's certain things that when they do that in the church, amen? Let's be open about that. Because I think if we're honest about that, it'll help us deal with it. And number three, are there any hot button gray areas that you tend to become judgmental about? Remember, I gave you a list of those. Okay, great. Thanks for being here tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you again in 2 weeks for our next devotional. And after that, 4 weeks from now, we'll have our next women's devotional. Let's hang out in our groups. By the way, what we may do next time is we may do this on Zoom instead of BakersfieldChurchOfChrist.com, because I really like to have breakout rooms. That would be great. But not tonight. Just discuss with the people who are there. And then in a few minutes, we'll see you on Zoom. Oh, let me finish with a prayer. God, thank you so much for this time tonight where we got to think about bearing one another's burdens, bearing with one another, accepting each other, and forgiving each other. God, I pray we'd be a family of disciples that does these things and that we get better and better at it. I know, God, if we do, we'll become the family that you intend us to be. And God, that will be all to your glory. Thank you for this time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.